have an army. We have a Hulk.
Episode 135, we have a Hulk podcast where we talk all things film, TV, and sometimes comic books. I'm one half of the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm co-pilot Chris.
And how are you doing today, Chris?
I'm all right, Nicola. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm looking forward to Seoul. It's currently the London Film Festival. So I'm trying to cram in as many films as possible because it's virtual this year, which is great, but you only have a certain amount of time to watch the film, so it's like, Craig, stop calling me work. So what are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris? Or should I say, I've got the notes in front of me. I'll overplay.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing At Home with the Hulks, as per we usually do. So just talking about what we've been watching over the past couple of weeks. We've got two interviews this time. So we've got director Brandon Vietti and voice of Jason Todd, Vincent Martella, for the new film Batman Death in the Family, which is the interactive animation that's just come out, which is actually really quite interesting. It's about seven different endings. I was there for hours trying to work out which of the different endings there were, and I think I found all of them. Okay. But we'll see. So that's currently out on digital, and it'll be coming out on Blu-ray very soon. So At Home with the Hulk, so I've been watching and reading and doing and such, Chris.
Yes, please tell me, Nicola. Star Trek?
Yes. So what I've got written down is Lower Decks, Hellstrom, yes, and The Boys.
Yes.
We've been watching many other different things. As I said, it's been London Film Festival, so I've been trying to cram in loads of films.
Yeah, also been catching up on Korra.
Yes, Korra. We finished the Airbender, didn't we?
So yeah, the last Airbender.
The last Airbender, which was great. And if you haven't watched it yet, because we're super behind on everything, I would highly recommend it. It's really good if you like anime and stuff.
Yeah.
We're very behind on that TV show with Lovecraft Country.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very good. But yeah, let's talk about Lower Decks. So this is Star Trek Lower Decks. Yes, yeah, so one of the writers from Rick and Morty, Mike McMahon, I don't think that's how you say his name, sorry. But he's the creator of Star Trek Lower Decks. So this is the animated... Is this like the first animated Star Trek installment ever?
Maybe.
Maybe. Yes. You're the Star Trek man. I'm looking at you. So we've had the first season now. And Chris, as a diehard Star Trek fan, what did you think?
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
Okay.
What do you think?
I had a really fun time with this. I think you kind of have to turn off your Star Trek brain.
I mean, that's impossible because there's a lot of references and stuff.
True, yeah. What I'm trying to say is just accept the fact that it's going to be a bit silly and a bit fun and a bit Rick and Morty, and there are quite a lot of Star Trek references in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find this really fun. I really liked it.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't quite decide what I think of it. It's fun. I laugh a lot in kind of the same way I do when I watch Family Guy. But at the same time, I don't really go out of my way to watch like Family Guy or something. And I probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch this necessarily.
Right.
And while I'm watching it, I'm kind of thinking, oh, that's funny. Oh, I want to watch Star Trek, real Star Trek.
Real Star Trek.
Kind of makes me want to watch real Star Trek.
Well, it's funny because sometimes the episodes end and then Chris will be like, oh, I enjoyed that. I didn't want to.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy it when I'm watching it. But then, yeah, I'm not sure if it's... I like the Star Trek references and stuff, but it... I don't know. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of them. So basically, it's focusing on, like, the red shirts kind of thing, isn't it? So it's the people who work in the Lower Decks of the USS Cerrito. So this is a separate ship to, like, Enterprise and all of those. It's one of the... Basically, the ship that gets lumbered with doing the rubbish jobs kind of thing. Sure. And it kind of focuses on like the engineers and people on the lower decks doing the sort of more menial jobs, which is actually quite funny.
Yeah,
it's an interesting concept. Yeah. And I really like the characters. I think they're great. There's a lot of engineering stuff in there as well, which is quite funny.
Yeah, there has been a little bit of progression as well, like with the daughter and the captain stuff.
Yes.
So some stuff has happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like completely just, you know, procedural type thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, I really like this. I'm looking forward to a second series. We're obviously getting Discovery back next week, which is exciting. Well, it'll be this week by the time this comes out. But yeah, loads of Star Trek at the moment. Also, we've had an announcement that Janeway is coming back to the universe in the, I think, in the Children's.
Children's.
Installment, yes. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. There was a great moment in the finale, which I won't talk about because it's spoilers, but there's a big reference to the universe. There's a cameo. Okay, there's a cameo. How would you rate this then, Chris?
I'll give it one thumbs up. I quite enjoy it, but it just kind of makes me want to watch Real Trek, so I'm not
100%. Real Trek.
You know what I mean?
Ooh! Shocker.
Does this count as Real Trek? This isn't going to be like...
Okay, so how would you rate that? You didn't give me a definitive answer.
Yeah, like one thumbs up. It's fun.
Okay,
it's fun.
Yeah,
it makes me laugh a bit. Not sure if that's. I feel like it's been. I mean, there is a lot of things that happen in Star Trek that you can make fun of because they happen repeatedly. They're kind of like tropes of the Star Trek thing. Like, there's always a hologram that goes wrong and kills everyone.
That was a great episode, actually.
Yeah, it was fun. And I appreciate that, but there's only so much making fun of it.
Do you feel it's kind of insulting?
A little bit, you know. Okay. I'm not really sure.
Okay, anyway, let's move on to the next. I enjoyed it, and I would, if you enjoy Rick and Morty, I think you'll enjoy that, basically. Yeah. It's the same sort of humour, isn't it? At least
similar. I wouldn't say it's as clever and stuff, but yeah.
Okay, next up, we got Hellstrom. So this is the Hulu show. This is the last ever Marvel TV show to come out of that branch, which is a bit of a shame. Like, all the Marvel stuff has been removed from it, like from the branding and things.
Okay.
So this is Damon and Anna Hellstrom are the son and daughter of a mysterious and powerful serial killer .
Right.
The siblings have a complicated dynamic as they track down the terrorizing worst of humanity, each with their attitude and skills. So Hellstrom in the comics, if you know about Hellstrom, it has a big tie to like Ghost Rider and Blade and the more sort of horror and supernatural vein of Marvel, which is kind of interesting.
What other Marvel shows have there been, TV shows?
So obviously the Netflix ones. You've also had Runaways and Cloak and Dagger. And things. So yeah, Jeff Loeb, I think, did he leave or was he sacked? I'm not quite sure. But they got rid of Marvel TV and it's all just one big branch now, isn't it?
Okay.
Because Kevin Feige's got hold of it and now they're doing all the Disney Plus shows. So, you know, like WandaVision and things. So they're actually linking to the MCU now. So it's all sort of one big thing. Whereas like Runaways and Cloak and Dagger were very self-contained.
Yes.
Which is interesting. But I do miss the Marvel Netflix shows. Watching this, which I can appreciate with a pinch of grain of salt, it makes Daredevil and the rest look very, very good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it. Like, the Marvel Netflix shows were great, and then everything else is not so great, right?
Yeah.
But then this felt like it was trying to aim towards that level.
Yeah, yeah.
But not succeeding. Right. I mean, certainly at first I was thinking, oh my god, this is slow. I don't even know. They could make this half. They could make these episodes half as long, and it would be much better, actually, because there wouldn't be so much waiting around for things to happen.
Yeah, it's difficult because I've just been writing my review. I haven't quite finished yet, but I've got my notes here, which is quite handy. So there's 10 episodes in the season. We had 5 to review from Hulu, and it got interesting in episode 4 and 5.
Yes.
Which was a shame because, like, when I was watching this, I thought it had the sort of the potential to be the next sort of Constantine or Legion. It definitely
Outcast. It felt like it was almost Outcast, but then just not quite as good of an Outcast.
Yeah.
Which is not
it's a bit
not
of a good shame. Praise, really. Because obviously it's all about like possessions, demons,
Especially since that got cancelled, which I was upset about.
Yeah, they just kind of ended it and then never mentioned it again, didn't they?
If that gets cancelled, then what chance does the show have?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think with like Supernatural out there, I don't know. But if that's finishing soon, so there needs to be something to sort of bridge the gap, doesn't there?
You're right, though. It definitely got better in episodes 4 and 5, so I'd actually be more interested in watching more of it now.
Yeah.
It's just those first few episodes, so it's just not feeling it.
Yeah. So basically, the sort of general premise of this is there's these two siblings, Damon and Anna, and they have a very, basically, it's all about childhood trauma, supernatural elements with it. They have a very strained, weird relationship with their mother, who is in a kind of a psych ward, right?
Yes.
She's been kind of possessed by a demonic force of some nature.
Yes.
The dad basically took the daughter when they were young, and then he went off like on a killing spree with the daughter. And now obviously they're grown adults. It's kind of documenting how they dealt with their childhood and stuff. And
their abilities they've sort of
which they don't use enough, which I thought was a real shame, because obviously he's sort of a exorcist in a way. He takes away obviously demons and things.
Very little exorcisms.
Very little exorcisms. It opens with an exorcism and I was like, well, this is promising. Yeah, yeah. And then you don't really see that many others, which is a shame. Her powers, I don't quite understand what they are yet, which is odd.
Some sort of telekinesis or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically, their father is coming back, and there's weird demons that get possessed that I don't know. It's...
And they have to come together. They have to team up. I think the kind of, was it episode 5 where they actually came together and exercised something or something? So they're together, they're more powerful or something like that.
Yeah. I think something that's kind of... Like that. so basically, it's a difficult one with this one because you don't know whether, because it's the last of the Marvel television shows, whether it's actually even going to get a second season. So it almost feels like, is there any point? Which is a real shame because there was, basically they announced, Jeff Loeb announced that there was going to be like a wider adventure into fear branch of Marvel. So there was going to be like horror shows and things. There was going to be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider spin-off with Gabrielle Luna, who was in, you know, obviously Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They were going to team up at one point as well, and it was going to be like Midnight Suns or Spirits of Vengeance, which could be really good. So it's like Hellstrom, Ghost Rider, Blade, Doctor Strange was part of it at one point in the comic books and stuff. So it could be very Constantine-esque, but yeah, I just... It's just a shame. That's all I'm saying, I think.
Yeah, I would say Outcast and Constantine are both better shows.
Yeah, personally. Definitely. My main issues with this, obviously there are supernatural and horror elements, which is great. I mean, it's sort of the first foray into that kind of thing, bar New Mutants and Legion, which is exciting, but they just don't go deep enough into it.
That's true. Legion was good.
Legion was really good. It's more of a relationship drama than a supernatural drama. Very emotional and talking about their feelings like a CW show, which is very bad. Not very bad. Oh.
Very bad.
That's the elements of the CW shows I do not like. I like them. I want to clarify that, but that's the part I do not like. And the pacing is just so slow. I think if I cut it down from 10 episodes, possibly 5.
I think I fell asleep in one of them.
We started watching episode 4 and Chris was like, we haven't seen episode 3. And I was like, yes, we have.
I couldn't remember it. I think I fell asleep.
Which is a shame. But yeah, once he got into it, episode 5 was really good. And they were doing like flashbacks to their childhood. And there was this
stuff that should have been happening in episode 1.
Definitely, exactly. Like... And they went into the mind of the mother and how it was like was it a metaphor? I don't know. It was great. Anyway. How would you rate this, Chris?
I'm gonna give it 0 thumbs.
Oh,
I'm gonna stay neutral on it because it started awful.
Okay.
I'm gonna say like there was two good episodes and 3 bad episodes, so I'm just gonna leave it there and see what happens. I think because I think it was getting better. So yes.
I mean the cast are good.
Quietly optimistic.
Will you end up finishing it when it comes out?
I'll watch the next one and we'll take it from there.
Okay. I would give this one thumbs up because it shows a lot of promise and it's interesting, but I just don't want to commit if there's not going to be any more of it. You know, I was promised this like exciting horror, supernatural Marvel stuff and it's not...
Explosion of shows.
Exactly, and it's not going to be there. Okay, final review.
Yes.
The Boys season finale happened. So Boys season two, finally. We watched all of the episodes quite a long time ago.
Yes, I
can't. So this is a big spoiler alert. So we're going to kind of go into it, if Chris can remember what happened.
Do we want to do that, or should we just not spoil it? Has it all been watched now?
Everyone's seen it. It came out Friday.
Fair enough.
So, let's give a general overview and then go into spoilers.
Okay.
What did you think?
Yeah, I think generally I didn't have the same reaction to this season as the first season because it's very much the same stuff. Very much just delving into the same issues and things, isn't it, really? I mean, it did go into a bit more sort of...
White supremacy
yes. angle. But then okay. They didn't give enough time to that, I don't think. It didn't feel fully fledged.
There was about two or three episodes where they really delved into it, and then
if they'd committed to that for the whole season, then that could have been an interesting new angle for this season.
Yeah.
But it mostly was sort of the same kind of themes as the first season, wasn't it? Which, I guess that's what shows do generally, but I mean, I just felt like, they could have done something a bit more. Yeah, anyway.
Just going back to the white supremacy thing, I found myself tricked. I don't know if you felt the same way, because Stormfront, I found myself really liking her for the first year. And I was like, she says what she has on her mind. She's quite kick-ass. She's
very good
stuff.
With the social media and everything. Yeah. She seemed to...
She stood up for, the women and stuff. And then she's a Nazi person. And I was like, whoa!
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I guess that's quite a clever thing to do as well, though, is make you like the bad guy. They're actually evil.
But that could have been a trigger. I don't know.
The whale thing. What did you think of the whale?
That made me really sad.
Yeah, it made me quite sad as well.
Whale.
I think they just like to be very sort of...
Eric Kripke is a bit screwed up, isn't he?
I like Supernatural in the original stuff, the first few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I did find that a little bit sort of, what's the word when it's just...
On the note, no, just...
Gratuitous, maybe.
That's the one.
It was just like, we're going to make you real in sort of horror.
I mean, there were a lot... They just dialed it up to 11 in this series. Like, the amount of heads that exploded were just crazy.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting twist there as well, which we'll talk about later, but I won't say. What about the sex scene?
With Stormfront and everything.
Yeah.
It was a bit...
it was quite hilarious. Laser my tits.
And the milk.
And the whole, Homelander.
With himself. With that lady.
Yeah, but it was actually the Morpheus's guy. It was so strange.
They just like to push, but they like to push boundaries and see what they can get away with, don't they, really, I think. Which is good in a way, but I'm not sure that, anyway.
Okay.
No, it just didn't feel like there was anything particularly new about it.
True. I feel like it was weird because I feel like it was a really strong opening couple of episodes, and then it really kind of sagged in the middle. Like, I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong. I found it more of the same with the first series. I think that was my main issue with it. And then the last couple of episodes were really, really good. So it was a bit of a strange journey, I think.
Yeah, there was a couple of different storylines going on, wasn't there? But they were kind of... didn't feel like they went into each one in every episode or anything. They all felt a bit sort of incomplete, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, we did get quite a lot of backstory, which was good. There were a couple of flashbacks. We got a new hero from the Seven, which was interesting. But wasn't it for very long?
Yeah.
Which is a shame. Also, the giant penis.
The giant penis.
How can you forget? When it broke into like the Vought Institute place and to get Starlight out, and there was the guy with the
the like whip style weapon penis. Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Strange.
Yes, indeed. How would you? I think we've briefly spoken about this before, but how would you rate Series 2 then, Chris?
I give one thumbs up. I think it was good. More of the same, really.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, but I just didn't feel like it had that same impact on me that the first season did because it was more of the same, really.
Okay.
Yeah. And it didn't feel like a complete, I would have liked a real meaty story going on. But yeah. I don't think any one of the stories was given that kind of
oomph.
Main focus yeah. kind of thing.
There were a lot of different things going on yeah. at the same time. Oh. Yeah. But series three, you're going to be excited. Jensen Ackles is in it.
That's true.
So
yeah, that's going to be... the dream team back together.
Dream team, Eric Kripke and... Do you think more supernatural people will kind of come into it? I don't know how many series they have sort of planned.
They had, wasn't Bobby in it?
Oh, was he?
Was he? Or was that something else? Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I think I'd give that one thumbs up, 1.5 thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you always ask me if that's okay. Yeah.
Is this okay? spoiler territory. So... let's talk about the final.
I mean,
now that we've finally seen it.
Sure.
And everyone has.
The kid?
The kid, yeah. What's going to happen with the kid? Is he going to be trained to be good or bad?
Felt like they were going in the direction of, we're going to look after you and we're going to make sure you turn up in the end.
Yeah, I really hope so.
But he did blow up his mum or whatever, so.
Yeah, so he's probably going to be a little bit messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, after all the effort trying to not make him messed up.
Yeah.
But then she was like, oh, don't worry about it.
I know, she? Yeah. She was like, oh, it's fine, you killed me. Yeah. Which was a shame. I found that moment really emotional, though. I was like, yeah, because like the whole way through.
It wouldn't happen, I guess.
Yeah. I just find the boys so. Like, ludicrous in a way, and so yeah. out there and violent and stuff.
It's nice to have a couple of characters that are at least trying
grounded.
To be good.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So when
it feels like it's just Huey, really.
Yeah, true. So when it happened, it kind of felt like it was a bit, not out of place, but yeah, maybe a bit out of place. So it was a bit
even
like,
ooh. Starlight murdered a guy in this, didn't she?
Did she?
Didn't she? They were trying to stop a car or something. And got
oh,
out
yes.
And tried pulled a gun on them or something, she murdered
them. Murdered them straight up. But we need to talk about the fight, which was amazing. So we had Kimiko, we had Queen Maeve, and then we had Starlight against Stormfront, which was great. I love that. It was really good. She came swooping down and he thought she killed Kimiko, but then she came back. And then, yeah, it was really good. I really liked it. So that for me was one of the highlights. I loved that fight. It was great. And then Maeve finally stood up to Homelander,
yeah.
which was fantastic. And then I think like one of the final scenes was like him jerking off in front of the city, which is weird. No, he's really. Got this strange control thing, hasn't he?
I don't know what it is. It's just, it's just ego.
So
it's
weird. Ego, so weird. But the twist... So the lady who is now, like, in control, she was the one who was exploding the heads.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was interesting.
So who the hell is she? I don't know.
I guess
and
that's
why.
The question for the next season.
Maybe. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting. Okay. Any other shows or anything you want to talk about?
Can we talk about the Nick Frost one yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We have been watching Truth Seekers, though.
Yes. Something.
We will, something. We will talk about that in a future episode.
But, indeed.
Something. On to the interviews.
Yes.
We save lives every day. Strangers. And there's always enough time. But I failed to save Jason from this life.
So Batman Death and the Family is out now on digital from the 13th of October. It's very Halloween-y based, just in time for Halloween, a bit horror-esque. But the synopsis is, in this very first interactive animated DC movie, you get to decide the direction Jason Todd's fate.
Choose your own adventure.
I like those. It was Halloween. Goosebumps is what I was talking about. Yeah. Which I really enjoyed. Also, what was that Black Mirror one? Bandersnatch?
That's
kind of cool. But because that's out, thank you to DC, we have managed to get some interviews with some of the cast and crew. So first up, we got director Brandon Fietti. I think he's like director, producer and writer. And he talks a lot about sort of the technology and how DC are kind of trying to explore that a little bit more. So do go buy the Blu-ray and the digital download so you can let them know that we want more, because I want like a VR thing. I think that would be great.
Oh, interesting.
Very immersive. and we also talked to the voice of Jason Todd, Vincent Martella, So, really hope you enjoy.
So, with the amazing cast and popularity of Under the Red Hood, did you always want to see the team get back together for another outing?
Yes, but it's one of those things where you don't expect it to happen. I mean, you know, Under the Red Hood was such a great kind of, you know, almost standalone kind of a story.
Yeah.
It's something I never really thought we would get the opportunity to go back and revisit or, you know, pull the team back together again. So it was just fantastic that this opportunity rose up to do Batman Death in the Family. And what a unique process, because it's not just a sequel, but Under the Red Hood, it almost serves as a launch pad for all of these new branches that our audience will get to interact with on Blu-ray. So it was great fun to not only get the team back together for that, but for something conceptually so new and different for Warner Brothers Animation to try a different kind of storytelling.
Yeah. And I mean, how early did the sort of interactive aspect of the film come into like the development process?
Oh, that was right from the beginning. I mean, that was something I'd been interested in. I think, you know, technology has evolved to the point where we can craft interactive stories for audiences to participate in. So it was definitely on my radar. I'd been asking about it. How can we do this? I think at some point, you know, my bosses at the same time were wondering like the same thing. And so eventually it all came together and like, well, let's do this. Let's do an interactive story, but what's the best one to start with? And of course the answer is A Death in the Family, which is a historic story from DC Comics history where they put the choice of letting Jason Todd live or die in the hands of the readers. So that's perfect. That's the place we should start. And then of course, fortunately, we had touched on that story in Batman Under the Red Hood. And of course, which is a story written by Jed Winnick, who wrote the movie as well, which I directed. And so it was great to kind of go back into what Jed wrote and sort of, again, use it as a launch pad. Because we didn't want to undo anything there. That was the Jed story is amazing. And fans love it. And I just wanted to respect all the work that he did. But again, use it, you know, lovingly as like a launch pad to tell tangent stories so that, you know, viewers can like, we'll try different things. Well, what if something else happened to Jason and see, you know, explore different things while maintaining Jason's character, but explore different avenues of how he could have evolved as a character.
Definitely. And I mean, there's a fantastic roster of cameos in the film as well. So you got both heroes and villains. How did you decide on who to include?
Well, I wanted to echo some of the choices from Under the Red Hood. We had Ra's al Ghul in Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
But Talia was there in the background, and I always wished we could have done more with her in that movie. So that was kind of top of my list, was to bring her into these new branches and see how she might influence Jason Todd's path. Two-Face was another character who I wanted to bring in some of the older stories. It's heavily implied that Two-Face killed Jason Todd's biological father. And with so much of this movie being about fathers and sons and those kinds of relationships, I thought, well, we've got to have Jason confront the murder of his biological father.
Yeah.
So that was also something I had very much in mind. And also I hadn't worked with Two-Face before, and Two-Face is a villain about choices. And this whole project is about choices. Of course, Two-Face flips a coin to make a decision, but you get to press a button on your remote control to make a decision. So he seemed like a natural fit conceptually.
Definitely. I mean, developing seven endings is really impressive. Which one would you say is your favorite or you had the most fun with? Without spoiling it.
Oh, boy.
Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've had, you know, even my own staff that worked with me to make this movie asked me that, and I tried to avoid that question because I actually don't want to influence anybody's decision. I tried to make this in such ways. I think every ending has a slightly different vibe to it, a different mood about it. Some are uplifting and some are not. And, you know, each one kind of reflects, you know, your decisions as you've chosen the path to get to that ending. And so I think I'm excited to hear or read about online, like what conclusions people liked the best, because I think it's going to be different for everybody. And hopefully everybody will find something that they like at the end of these various paths that I've created.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a really intriguing sort of horror aspect to some of the certain strands. Was the angle there from the start, or did you evolve it when you were developing the sort of narratives?
It was there from the start. I feel Jason Todd lends himself to horror very well. I mean, he was a dark character to begin with. He was on a bad path as he followed his choices that led him to a fateful encounter with the Joker. He died. He came back from the dead. He became a murderer. That lends itself to horror quite well, I think. Yes. And so I felt, well, let's lean into that, because I think that visceral nature that comes with a horror movie allows us to make viewers feel the repercussions of their choices even more deeply. When you can show the consequences, that many of which are very horrific, and this goes back to the comics, I'm just building on what was there, there are horrific consequences. But if you don't show them, if you don't depict it as a horror movie, I think you're pulling the punches and you're not getting the most dramatic impact that you possibly can out of the story. So yeah, I really wanted to push and make you feel the horrific parts of the story that come along with Jason Todd.
Definitely. And I mean, Robin is such an iconic character. Is Jason Todd the particular iteration you particularly like, or is there any others that sort of resonate with you?
One thing I think you'll find with me is I tend to not play favorites. I get so excited about each individual character and who they are. Like it really gets difficult for me to pick a favorite, honestly. And that one I'm not trying to dodge. It really is how I feel. Because I mean, each of the Robins that have come along have been so unique and different, and they bring something different to the Batman universe. They may challenge Batman in different ways. And so, yeah, I can't pick, because I just love them all equally. And you know, I tried to incorporate many Robins into this project. Definitely. So that it's as much a Robin project as it is a Batman project. That was important to me as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really came across. So I think that really worked.
Good, I'm glad.
Can I ask if there's any updates on Young Justice at all?
Nothing I can announce right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's right. So if you had a chance to phone in the original telephone poll, how would you have voted?
You know, I think it was definitely the family that launched my collection into Batman comics. And I think what drew me in was the results of the call-in.
Okay.
I've asked myself that many times over the course of making this project.
Yeah.
I think if I were back in that moment in time and I'd had the ability to make that call, I probably would have voted for him to live. But I don't think that was actually the merciful decision. I think if you really think about the dark path that he was on, that resulted in him falling victim to the Joker, it was an incredible failure on his side. I mean, possibly the worst of his life. And how do you recover from that?
Yeah.
That is something that is a life-altering moment. And I don't think it would have ended well. I think that's probably what I would have chosen, but I don't think it was the merciful choice. And again, that was something that I got to explore in this project.
So I was just going to say, there's a couple of few sort of endings that could be explored and developed upon. Would you consider doing that if you had the chance to?
Absolutely. You know, in particular, there was a branch that depicted Jason Todd as Hush. And I think there was an evolution happening even through that branch. He was destined for more. And I think that destiny was interesting to me. I would have liked to have played that out further, because we sort of presented in the end of that branch, an opportunity arrived at his doorstep, and it seemed like something that he was going to take advantage of. But I would like to have seen, would he have taken advantage of that situation or would it have taken advantage of him? I think he was stepping into something much deeper than he realized. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been really great to explore. Where does that go next?
Definitely. What's next in the DC pipeline for you?
Well, right now I am just in deep with Young Justice. So that is filling my days and nights with no problem at all.
Yeah.
At DC Fandome, it did reveal that I've also been working with other folks in our division that are developing more interactive material. So I am hoping that that becomes more. These are more innovative, interactive methods, though, that are much more complex than Blu-ray and remote control navigation. These are technologies that employ mobile devices to sort of make decisions for you, but without you even knowing. It's a way to interact with a story at a sort of unconscious level. So there isn't necessarily button pressing, but you know there may be eye tracking or heart rate monitoring through a smartwatch connected to a smartphone. So these are like new technologies of interactivity that we're playing with currently. And that's something I've sort of had on the back burner. While I'm doing Young Justice, it's something else that has been sort of, I've been putting a little time into on the side as well.
Wow. Just a couple of things then.
It's pretty exciting. I love that technology has evolved to this point where we as storytellers can evolve how we tell stories. And I really hope that our fans will buy this Blu-ray for Batman Death and the Family. So, because to me, that is a vote telling Warner Brothers.
Yes.
We want more of this. And I think we can do more. We can make bigger, better projects with more choices and more branching. But people have to let Warner Brothers know, we want more of this. And that starts with buying this Blu-ray.
Definitely.
And it is my deepest hope that we can make more and more and more of these, because I just love making them and I think there's so many more stories to tell.
Definitely. I'd love to see something on VR as well. That would be absolutely fantastic.
It would. Yeah, that's I haven't had a chance to delve into that, but I love, you know, VR and AR. It's something we've talked about with the interactivity stuff, but I mean it's even woven into Young Justice. We use augmented reality contact lenses for our heroes. So that technology has always like been in my head and it's something I've always tried to employ in stories, but we've reached a point in technology where now it's not fantasy technology, it's reality technology.
Yeah.
And we're at a point now where I can use that technology to tell stories and it's so exciting and I can't wait to get to it. And we're like right on the cusp of it. We're exploring those technologies now.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how it's gone from comic books and like, do you remember the Goosebumps books where you could like pick which chapter you went to and stuff?
Right. Yeah, I loved books like that when I was younger too. And so yeah, it's even more rewarding now because it's not just the words on the page, but you can do so much more as a storyteller and a filmmaker. And now with technology, again, your way of interacting has even evolved. It's not just flipping a page. It's not just pressing a button. But there are now other ways to, make decisions. And again, sometimes without you even knowing, it could be, with facial recognition technology, it could be tracking your facial expressions. Are you laughing? Are you worried? These are things that could be used to trigger alternate paths in a story based on how you're reacting to a story. This is a technology you can. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see somewhere in my feed, I did a panel recently with Arvel Chappelle III, who has created this technology for Warner Brothers, and he's developing it now. It's something we've been working on together. I can't take any claim in the technology itself, but he's really invented some amazing stuff. And as a storyteller, I am just so on board with like experimenting with that stuff. And I can't wait for it to develop further.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. I really, really did enjoy the Blu-ray. I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Right, so how are you doing, Vincent?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. I literally just watched the film. Have you had a chance to play around with the interactive features yet?
You know what? I actually have not gotten a chance to do the full interactive experience. The way that I was able to receive it before we did our first Comic-Con panel, when I was able to see it with specific decisions already made. But obviously I know what all the decisions are. But I just haven't actually been able to press the button to do it myself yet.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have to choose, it's like, it's not long. You have to choose and it's like the pressure.
I know. Yeah. And they're big decisions. Some of them are huge decisions.
Yeah. So is it good to be back in the Bat family again?
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, I wasn't sure, you know, if I'd ever get to play Jason Todd again, or if I'd ever be able to be back in the Bat family again. But you know, about 10 years went by, and I got an even more exciting opportunity to play Jason Todd than the first time, if that was possible. Where I get, you know, I really got to explore this character, and I got to do a lot of really cool things as this character that I was surprised I would ever, you know, I would ever get a chance to do. So this was awesome.
Yeah. And obviously the film's based on the iconic 1988 comic where readers could call and vote on Jason's fate. But how would you have voted?
You know what? I would have voted to keep him alive and for there to be a ton of movies where I got to play him consistently. I'm not sure at the time where I would have. What I think is cool is, you know, obviously this film gives you the option to do something as simple as that. But with more choices, with the technology that we have now to just go, okay, you know, we can give you some more choices. What that means for this character and what that means for all the people around him, I think is super fascinating. So, and you know, the inspiration there was the fact that fans initially got to vote in the first place. So it led to this film in a way.
Definitely. And I mean, without spoilers, what was your reaction when you first read the script? Because some of the outcomes are a little bit surprising.
Oh, yeah, they really are. You know, something that surprised me reading the script and then, you know, seeing some of the artwork was the horror elements. Like, you know, there are horror film elements to this movie, and it's very jarring and scary and extremely violent at times. And so I think that's what jumped out at me the most, that I was surprised at, in terms of, you know, wow, there are some, they're going to let us go to some of these really dark places. And I was really excited to get in there and do it. And I think it turned out really, really great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what a good time for it to come out as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for people to see it. And I know how passionate Batman fans are. And I think this is such a unique experience for them, and as it was for us making the film. So I'm excited to hear everyone's reaction to it.
Definitely. And what would you say your favorite iteration of the Robin character is? Personally, it's difficult. I love Nightwing, but I also love, obviously, Red Hood.
I know. As a kid, I really, really liked Nightwing. Like, he was definitely one of my favorites. I think he might still have the lead over Red Hood for me, just because I, you know, as a kid, I liked him so much. I had a Nightwing action figure who I loved. But the fact that I got to play a version of Red Hood in this film was so awesome to me, because, you know, I didn't get to do that the first time around. And so noticing that I was actually going to get to play Red Hood was really, really exciting. I'm going to have to get a Red Hood action figure and put him on my bookshelf.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, did you do much research at all? Because Red Hood and the Outlaws is fantastic at the moment with Artemis and Bizarro.
Yeah, I mean, what was interesting was, you know, that research was done 10 years ago, even, you know, in talking about, you know, what happens to Jason Todd and where he goes and what happens with the Red Hood character. And this time around, what I felt was most important in terms of research wise was everything I was doing with Brandon Vietti, our writer and director, and Wes Gleason, who voice directed me while I was in the booth, which was a lot of, you know, really mapping out where these decisions go and, you know, having all these branches of what this means for the character, what this means for the people around him, and what it means emotionally when different things happen based on decisions that the audience has made. Because, you know, now Jason Todd views, you know, justice differently because of this, you know, decision that the audience made, or he views violence differently, or he views Batman differently. So those things became the most important research that I was doing in terms of how to play the character.
Definitely. And I mean, there's so many cameos. I'm not going to go into any of them because I don't want to spoil it for fans. But did you have a particular one that you really enjoyed seeing pop up?
Yeah, Gary Cole was really cool. You know, he arrives on the scene as Two-Face. That's a really fun storyline that happens based on, you know, audience decisions. And that's one reason, too, why I hope that audience members really explore the options, because you don't want to miss out on some of these really cool scenes. There's a lot of footage. So I hope that fans don't just do, you know, one storyline and go, oh, all right, I guess that's it. I hope they play around with it, because you'll get really good cameos, as you said.
Definitely. I mean, would you be up for a sequel? I mean, there's a couple of cliffhangers that are really juicy.
Oh, I would love to. That would be so, so cool. If there's an opportunity to play Jason Todd again in the future, I am 100% in. This was a really, really fun experience. Very unique based on, you know, the interactive quality. But yeah, as you just said, I mean, there's a lot more Jason Todd storylines that exist, and I would love to explore them. So if DC lets me, I'll be there.
Yeah. Just one thing I would like to settle up, though. Where are you on the argument of Batman or Superman?
You know what? I'm Batman. Superman's not fair. He's got too many things going on. I like Batman. He's, you know, he's out there actually doing, you know, work on the street, you know?
Yeah. And he's got an amazing Bat family, too. There's just so many cool villains as well.
Yeah. Yeah, his villains are way more interesting. And yeah, I'm definitely a bigger Batman fan.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to get in contact with us in any way, shape or form, you know, just hit us up on the socials. How do they go about doing that then, Chris?
Well, Twitter's bloody stolen our thing, isn't it?
It has. I am very miffed off still. This is a very long process and I'm grieving currently, so.
Yeah, some sort of Indian scamster.
Yes.
It is actually in it's changed location to India. I'm not just claiming, which is making that up. Yeah, it's a bit annoying. And
we have a support case though, so hopefully they.
We believe we do. We can't believe check we do. That it still exists. Or anything, but, you know.
Fingers crossed. Fingers we hear crossed. Back soon, but we do have a backup account. Yes. If you want to tweet us.
So the real account is that we have a Hulk pod, and that's not currently available. And no. The current one is
at we have a Hulk. Okay. So very similar. It's just remove the pod. But I'm probably using my account more at the moment. So that's at @Nicola_HulkPod. Just because of London Film Festival. Doing a couple of the sort of mini reviews after I listen. After I watch the films.
Indeed.
Yes.
We're also on Facebook and Instagram.
And Instagram.
At we have a HulkPod.
Yep.
And YouTube. Still have YouTube. Haven't touched it.
It's
ages,
doing really well, actually. Right now, surprising.
Surprising and unsurprising. Yeah. Because there's lots of people at home watching YouTube right now, I guess.
That is true, yes. Also have a website, wehavehulk.co.uk, for all the news, interviews, podcasts, and some reviews from some very gifted people.
Indeed.
Not just myself, I'm talking
mostly,
about.
Mostly you, though.
Not at all. So hopefully we're going to be a bit more regular with these podcasts.
We'll see.
We've got Truth Seekers to talk about. Hopefully going to see Soul very shortly.
Yeah.
If my brakes don't fail. I have this weird inane fear where I think I'm going to like break down when I'm driving by myself. So that's fun. But I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm hoping that's going to be good. Hopefully Hocus Pocus soon as well. Very exciting.
Yes, we've got the, we're also November, we're going to have V for Vendetta.
Yes,
to look forward
that's
to,
sort of a
I'm excited
thing.
About.
5th of November, and you like watching your V for Vendetta, don't
you? Remember.
The 5th of November. It's weird how like closely that's mirroring like real life. Yeah. It's very, very terrifying. Anyway, I would just like to say, I hope everyone's okay. If you're struggling, just you know, hit us up in the DMs and whatnot. I will gladly talk for hours about movies or something to take your mind off things. So just to let you know, I'm here. So yeah. Well, it's kind of tough at the moment, isn't it? There's just so much like
what's happening? I don't
know. It's all up in the air.
I think that's the point. We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we? And we were saying, I mean, if we had kind of an end date, we could plan a holiday or something nice to look forward to.
It's just nice to be able to plan, like have a holiday planned, you know? Just book something, it's nice. But you can't really without knowing whether there's going to be like planes and stuff. So.
True. Yeah. So hopefully we'll hear something shortly and things will be fine. And
things will turn out fine in the end. I'm 100% sure about that.
Yeah. In the meantime, we've got Rocket League. If you want to play Rocket League with us, just do that. Also, Chris has been playing Squadrons with Squadrons. Neil and Martin quite a lot, which is really good. I hate it. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I feel like if I give it more time, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You would be okay with it, but it's just one of those things where if you lose, it's stressful.
It is crazy. And it goes on for hours as well. I'm like, oh, I'm rubbish at this. Why does it keep...
It's the waiting around that gets me. Like, there's a whole long time you have to spend lobby in the lobby. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway,
we tried the VR set. That was kind of it. I felt really so sick.
Yeah. For some reason, I get motion sickness in like vehicles sometimes. Okay. Yeah. But this doesn't.
So weird.
So yeah,
That's strange. Also, can I just say I watched a horror film. I know, admittedly, it was in the day, but I didn't get super scared, and I felt really proud of myself. I watched Relic, and it was really good actually.
Was it actually scary or was it?
It was a little bit scary, but it was more about sort of dementia and things, which is kind of an interesting twist on a horror film. So
yeah, I like horror films that are scary.
Exactly. It's so weird. I feel like if it's about ghosts or possession or religion, I'm like, hell no.
Just the freaking Grudge or something. I'm out.
Yeah.
Just don't even.
But if it's like slashers or stuff, I'm like weirdly okay.
Maybe, yeah.
I know. Or if it's got witches in there. Like the Hocus Pocus is perfect.
We watched something the other day.
Oh, did we? Oh, Black Box.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
We can talk about Black Box.
Should we talk about Black Box?
There's some Blumhouse films, isn't there, that are coming to Amazon Prime. I think, the first two have already come. There's two more that will be coming this week.
Who did this one?
Blumhouse.
Blumhouse is a company.
Yeah, it's like a production company. They did like Invisible Man, Get Out, Upgrade.
I really liked Upgrade. I thought this was better than Get Out.
Okay.
So, but it's a sort of similar concept as like brains and stuff, isn't it?
Brains.
Transferring consciousness and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was very Black Mirror, though.
It was very Black Mirror.
Yeah. So I mean, it's been kind of done quite a lot before, but the way they did it was kind of an interesting twist and an interesting take on it, which I enjoyed.
Yes.
And I thought the actors were great, especially the little kid. She was so good.
True. Yeah. So 2 thumbs up for me.
Oh, wow. So, okay. Yeah. There was also another one called The Lie, which you didn't watch, but I did. And it was, compared to Black Box, it was a real disappointment. Because they're said to be like psychological thrillers / horrors, but this, no.
It's boring.
It was just boring. I'm sorry to say.
Can't have a thriller that's boring, can you?
No, I know. Exactly.
Thriller was not thrilling.
Yeah, the people were just bad people.
Okay.
That was about it. There was a lie which was a lie.
There was a lie which was a lie.
Am I allowed to say? I kind of want to tell you what happens, but I don't want to spoil it for viewers, obviously. That's fine. I'll tell you later. Okay, fair enough. Go check them out. I actually really, really like Blumhouse. I think they're doing some really good stuff at the moment. So if you haven't seen Upgrade, definitely check that out. That's on Netflix at the moment. And Invisible Man is definitely one of my favourite films from this year. I know there hasn't been many new films. Beginning of this year, which is crazy.
That was okay.
Goodbye. Sorry, very extended outro, but yes, as I said, if anyone just want to talk, just hit me in the DM. So I hope everyone's okay, everyone has a good week, and we'll be back soon with Truth Seekers, which is a fun comedy. So thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you next time. Bye.